If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Advantage over us? Does he manifest in our bedrooms with plumes of smoke and smell of sulfur? Maybe. Maybe. As a personal note, I've seen those particular manifestations. In the late 70s, I was newlywed, and my pastor saw fit to install me as in those days we were called youth directors. We weren't called youth pastors. Kept us humble. And my pastor saw fit to install me as the youth director. I didn't say no. You don't tell him no. I just said okay. 3 days later, I was lying in bed with my new bride, and she was sleeping. And two demonic spirits manifested themselves physically and stood at the foot of my bed. They went from the floor to the ceiling, and they had on robes with hoods. There was no flesh on their bones, it was skeletal. But they had red eyes that seemed to burn like fire. I could hear them talking while my wife was sleeping. All I could think of was God protect her. I looked at them and I heard them talking, and the one on my left looked at the one on the right, pointed what was a bony finger at me, and said, "We have to kill him now because he has a ministry that's going to harm our kingdom," and that was in the 70s. I heard him say, "We have to kill him now." And a pressure began to settle over me. All I could think of was my wife. All I could think of was, "God, just don't let anything happen." And the two of them stood there. And all I could say was, "Satan, the Lord rebukes you." I didn't say it loud because I didn't want to wake her up and cause her to be afraid. I knew that if she woke up, she would see those things. That they were manifest physically. I said, "Satan, the Lord rebukes you." And they started backing up. I said, "The Lord rebukes you." I started getting bolder. Then I said, "The blood of Jesus." And then poof, they disappeared. So I do not minimize your spiritual experience, but that's not how he gets advantage over us. You see, that's just a manifestation. And obviously he didn't kill me. Doesn't mean he's not trying now. He's just changing his tactics. He's not doing it from the outside. He's trying to harm me from the inside by having stuff happen. And that's why prayer is so important. But how does he get the advantage over us? Paul tries to share with us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He tries to encourage our hearts as he prepares the church at Corinth for warfare. What I share with you today will be liberating if you listen to what I say and then apply it when you leave here. I need you to change your view so that Satan won't get the advantage over you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Listen carefully. You develop certain responses, certain characteristics from your street life. You develop them. You bring them to Christ. You develop that protective mindset, and it becomes a real secondary personality because of its years of functioning in the world. It protects you in church. You have this protector who keeps you from pain. You come to Christ expecting him to be the Lord of all, but it appears that he does not lord over every area of your life. And I underscore appears. It is not that Jesus isn't over every area of your life. It's that you have not surrendered that part to him. Why? Because nobody taught you how. 97% of us in here came to Jesus, went to a side room, was told we're not going to hell, was told Jesus loved us, given a Bible, told to study that Bible, erroneously told to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then made to come to church without addressing us. So in short, we put clean clothes on a dirty body. Because no one tried to get us to understand what it meant to be a Christian. And so many of us, even today, have no idea as to what it means to be a Christian. You thought being a Christian meant having a good time in worship, praising the Lord, feeling the Spirit, demonstrating what you thought was 1 Corinthians 13 love, and all of that stuff falls by the wayside in this one discipline. In this one area, Satan gains advantage and access over us. No matter how many tongues you speak in, no matter how many sermons you preach, or how much church work you perform, there is still a gateway that our adversary waits, painstakingly so, to enter into. It is so vital, but yet we are not taught how to master it. He has perverted and polluted our aspects of it to the point where we can't even grasp the philosophical realities of what Jesus is teaching us, both in the Old and the New Testament, because the world has determined that this is not significant. Satan has thrown something in on us. And again, this is going to jostle some of you and ruffle some feathers. But he has thrown something in on us to keep us from occupying space in this, the most critical aspect of your Christian experience. It is not tongues. It is not praise and worship. It is not church attendance. But it fuels all of those things. So without it, you can't successfully perform these things. In fact, without this aspect, the main doorway of satanic oppression, God can't speak to you. You say, well, I hear him in my spirit. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because your spirit is non-communicable. If God spoke to your spirit, what good would that do? How would that facilitate response? How can you obey what comes to your spirit? You're fighting, and I'm trying to reel you in. How does Satan get an advantage over us? Paul doesn't want to leave us ignorant. Here's what he does. In 2 Corinthians, he said, though we walk in the flesh, you're not fighting fleshly things. John Doe is not your enemy. Jane Doe is not your enemy. I am not your enemy. President Obama is not your enemy. These are simply vessels that a spirit being called Satan works through to frustrate you. Why is it that the same characteristic that I exhibit to everybody frustrates you? There's a person who says to me, one of the pastors of the fellowship, he becomes extremely upset when I don't answer his email. He calls Bishop Harley. I don't know what's wrong with Bishop Lambert. He'll never answer your email. Bishop Harley said, he don't answer any email. He's not an email person. You email him, you got, like Pastor Aaron. Pastor Aaron emails me, then he texts me to tell me he emailed me. He said, check your email. Because he knows I'm not picking it up. But it's the same characteristic I give to everybody else. This pastor is offended. No other pastor in the fellowship is offended by me not getting back to them in their email. This one's offended. Why is he offended? It's the same characteristic. There's nothing wrong with me. That's my principle. I don't do it. And I don't answer every text I get. Ask Lady Lambert. Did you get my text? No. When did you send it? Yesterday. I was busy. I tell her, I say, you don't need to text me. You live with me. Talk to me. You ain't got to text me. How you gonna text somebody you live with? Well, I might have things I want you to do, so I'll text you. Shoo. You call me. What's the matter? You can't call nobody? I said, Jerome's in the house, uh-huh. Watch your mouth. But why is it that this brother is offended? Why is it offended? Why is he offended? Because in his world, he should be answered every time he emails. But his world's not my world. So he's offended because I'm not in his world and he don't want to come to mine. But guess what? I'm the presiding bishop. He's got to come to mine. God ain't coming to your world. He's the presiding God. You're going to change. God ain't changing. You're going to change. God, listen, God is not going to change this word because you don't like bless them that curse you. God isn't going to change this world because you so used to being abused in the hood that you've become violent. God isn't going to change this word when he says if they hit you on one cheek, take it and then turn the other. No, you're going to change because he's the presiding God. But Satan doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to use Pentecostal logic. Concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. So we're standing here commanding God to do what he is incapable of doing. You say, hold it, preacher. Now you just messed me up. What is God incapable of doing? He's Almighty God. He's El Shaddai. He's incapable of lying. He cannot lie. That means if you live a substandard life, you can't go to him and expect heavenly blessings. For the Bible said the only people that can climb the hill of the Lord are they that have clean hands and a pure heart.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12115A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. You can buy your book online or join Bishop Lambert for a special book signing on Wednesday, February 3rd at 7 p.m. at Lighthouse of Deliverance Gospel Church, located at 365 Blackwood Clementon Road in Lindenwall, New Jersey. God is calling Christians to a higher level of spiritual awareness. The Christian and the Culture is a valuable resource for overcoming the tricks of the enemy. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.